Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This reading is from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. I'm reading from the NIV version, and it can be found on page 1171 or on the screen. Israel forsakes God. The word of the Lord came to me. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord. And I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coasts of Cyprus and look, and send to Kedar and observe closely, see if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, we are going to talk about a love story. A story that started with trust and faithfulness. It is about a good relationship that became distorted and sadly has a bitter end. In chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah, the Lord appointed Jeremiah at a very young age to be a prophet to the nations. In verse 10 of chapter 1, God tells Jeremiah about his responsibilities. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah had a special mission to the nation of Israel, to warn them that the destruction was on its way, and to call them back to the Lord. The prophetic picture that God gives in chapter 2 to start that mission is the image of relationship, a bride and husband. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem." This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. When those we love fall in love and wish to marry, we feel massive joy. We often witness that the early days of marriage are among the most beautiful and romantic time for a couple. During this initial period, we see their love and faithfulness to each other. If we later hear that their relationship has cooled and one spouse is no longer as loving, as faithful as before, it deeply saddens us. especially if the issue is lack of faithfulness. Perhaps you're thinking of particular examples even as I speak this morning, and maybe you have experienced this yourself. It is very painful. When we speak of faithfulness, of course, we don't just mean sexual fidelity. We can mean that one spouse has become distracted and started prioritizing different things, such as work, friends, or any other habits over the spouse. It can be in our thoughts, how we use our time, what we see as mine and yours, and how we speak and act toward each other. Hearing about or even experiencing such a situation can be very distressing and sorrowful. Certainly, the one who experiences unfaithfulness remembers the happy time, recalling the sacrifice made and the love given to be with that person. In verse 2 of chapter 2, when we see the Lord saying to Israel, "I remember the devotion of your youth," it seems as though God experiencing a sense of sadness, recalling the early love and faithfulness of Israel. Israel was holy to the Lord. They were deeply in love. They trusted that God would provide for them, and they endured hard times with hope. When they sinned and made mistakes, they quickly turned back at the rebuke of Moses and at the direction of the laws and commandments he gave. They valued the presence of God in their midst, and they delighted to worship him in song and sacrifice. But as they became more stable and powerful and took their place on the world stage, Israel began to shape themselves just like the nations around them and rejected Yahweh's love and guidance. They started to fall in love with other lovers. The Lord was so faithful to Israel. He was faithful to his promises he had given them. But Israel forgot and chose to ignore what the Lord had done for them. When they reached a place of comfort, the place that the Lord mentions in verse 7, they began to worship other things beside Yahweh. "I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. They prioritized other things and forgot the steadfast love of God, who had a very close relationship with them. Israel wants a happy bride, now chase after other partners. Israel went after other gods who are worthless and nothing. The text contains such a sense of betrayal and loss of trust. God is deeply saddened. He is lamenting over Israel and is using Jeremiah to remind them of these things and to call them to repentance. But he will also take action. Their betrayal and unfaithfulness will have consequences, as we read in verse 9. "Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children." The unfaithfulness of the people of Israel, their disobedience, and their adultery will not go unpunished. God is grieved. His heart is broken, and he has been betrayed. The book of the law that had been rediscovered in Jeremiah's lifetime told that there would be consequences for covenant unfaithfulness. Choosing other gods would mean forfeiting the blessings of Yahweh. To make matters worse, this unfaithfulness was not just limited to a group of people who didn't know better. In verse 8, we see that even the priest, whose duty is to teach the word of God, those who applied the law for the people, the leaders, whose responsibility is to guide the people in the right path, and prophets, who are representative of the Lord, we're all guilty of this unfaithfulness. It's so bad, in fact, so pervasive and so shocking that in verses 10 to 12, God tells his people that even those who are pagan and idol worshippers are not as bad as them. At least those who worship false and worthless things have not changed their gods. They are faithful to them, even though their gods did nothing for them. Yet you who worship Yahweh, the true God, the eternal and everlasting God, the source of life and all you have changed him for worthless and false things. Israel had a God of all glory and blessings, but they turned from him. This is truly shocking and appalling. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal. The Israelites had begun to worship Baal, influenced by the surrounding nations and the leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Elijah challenges the people of Israel to choose between Baal and Yahweh, ultimately demonstrating God's power and turning the hearts of the people back to him. But like a strange magnet, the idols drew the people of Israel back again and again. They have seen God's power. They'd seen his faithfulness. And yet, unlike even the prophets of Baal, who stuck to their gods despite having no evidence he would come through for them, Israel just turned away from Yahweh and all his blessings. Last week, the prophet Jeremiah appeared in several of my dreams. We stood together in a desolate city with fires all around. And wherever I went, Jeremiah followed me. In the dream-like fashion, he followed me everywhere like Chico, my puppy, does. Although not into the bathroom like Chico. In one of my dreams, there was a broken cistern. I stood nearby. Jeremiah was there too. I knew that something was wrong, that this well that was supposed to hold water for the city was cracked and leaking, and that it wouldn't serve the people what they needed. I was worried and asked Jeremiah how we could get water from this broken cistern. In verse 13, God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cistern, broken cistern that cannot hold water." Well, as we all know, water is essential to life and plays a crucial role in maintaining the health and function of our bodies. Every cell in the human body contains water and requires it to operate effectively. Our brain is composed about 75% water, lungs about 80%, and the heart approximately 73%. A human can typically survive without water for only about 3 to 5 days. After my research about water, I'm trying to drink more. The Israelites lived in a dry land where every drop of water was precious. They had to dig cisterns. They had to carry buckets to take water and then back to their place. Having and securing water was a challenging task for them, but drinking water was essential for their lives. When they dug a well or cistern, they were going to make sure it was well maintained and kept holding the water they needed. Spiritually, the Lord is the source of living water. But his bride, those who once knew that he is the source of everything, forgot that he is the wellspring that never runs dry. He is faithful and true to his promises. All they needed to do was trust him. But instead, they placed their trust in broken cistern that could hold no water. Other gods, other ways of living, selfish, comfortable, and power-hungry lives that ignored God's way. Those broken cisterns could never provide the living, giving, life-giving water they needed. God is a fountain of living water. He is the fountain of life, as Psalm 36:9 declares. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. And Jesus affirms in John 4:14, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And again, in John 7:38, Jesus offers the rivers of living water. The only way that we can access this living water, this source of life, is by trusting God, accepting him as the only way, repenting before him. His mighty hands are always open wide for us. His hands and hearts were open to the people of Israel. He longed to embrace them once more and make them aware that they had set their hearts and placed their trust in wrong things, things that were cracked and would soon break and vanish. This is the heart of our God. Israel started to worship another gods, false and unworthy gods. They put their trust on wrong things, but God appointed Jeremiah to stop them. The Lord not only demonstrated his faithfulness to the people of Israel, but we too have tasted his steadfast love. God showed his faithfulness by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to earth and having him crucified for the atonement of our sins. The unfaithfulness of Israel and indeed the entire human race was now being addressed once and for all, for those who would receive it. God's gift to us in Christ is that our unfaithfulness is now dealt with. Our unfaithfulness is hidden in Christ's faithfulness because he covers our shortcoming with his perfect loyalty and righteousness. When we fall short, his steadfastness and sacrifice on the cross redeem us, allowing us to be seen as faithful through him. Christ's faithfulness is completed and unchanging, and it shields and transforms our unfaithfulness, making us righteous before God. The cross of Christ is the ultimate symbol of God's faithfulness to us. The body and blood of Christ are signs of his unwavering commitment to us. As it is written in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Through the sacrifice of Christ, we witness the profound depths of God's love and faithfulness. And we have hope that, along with Christ, God will also give us all the things that we need. خداوند تنها وفاداری خودش رو به قوم اسرائیل نشون نداد، بلکه ما هم امروز میتونیم وفاداری خداوند رو ببینیم. ما هم اونو تست کردیم، ما هم اونو چشیدیم. خداوند با فرستادن پسرش عیسی مسیح به روی زمین، با فرستادن عیسی مسیح به روی صلیب، وفاداری و محبت خودش رو به ما نشون داد. هدیه خدا به ما اینه که بی‌وفایی ما از طریق مسیح پوشیده میشه و خداوند اینقدر قدوسه و قادره که از طریق قدوسیتش ما را نزد خدا عادل بشموره، به ما ارزش بده، کمبودهای ما رو بپوشونه. وفاداری خدا کامل و تغییر ناپذیره و قادر هست تا ما رو بلند کنه، قادر هست به ما ارزش بده. So the call to us today from Jeremiah chapter 2 is to return the faithfulness of God to us, the great gift of God to us, with our own faithfulness. With a true devotion, a passion for God's presence, a return to our first love where we don't compromise with idols and the worship of other things. Now probably we don't worship statues or gods of stone, although it's possible that in our multicultural church that some of us do have that sort of worship in our inherited practice. But in this modern and advanced world, many things come to our way and suggest that we prioritize them over God. It could be power, money, addiction, relationship, social media, comparisons, health, family, work, home, and many other things. It can be in our thoughts, how we use our time, what we see as mine and yours, how we speak and act toward God and each other. The Israelites had forsaken God, their true love. What about us? If we forget our deep relationship with God in our actions, words, and behavior, it breaks God's heart. But just as he used Jeremiah to bring his people back to him, he is telling us not to place our trust and love in a broken cistern. That cistern can never quench our thirst because it's not reliable. We must remember to stay faithful to God and to delight in his good gifts to us. And these gifts are meant to be shared. In my dream with Jeremiah, I stood in a desolate and dry landscape with little fires all around. What everybody needed most in that place was water and peace. The real world is like that too. We are in the midst of wars and violence and poverty and spiritual emptiness. But sometimes we forget that as followers of Jesus, we actually have the answers. We We have the water and peace for human souls. And we have it in abundance to bless others, not to put a burden on them. We have refreshing faith. Imagine your best friend, someone you've been close to for years. You stood by each other through tough times, shared joy and sorrow, and built a deep trust. You've always been there for that person, offering love and support. Now she or he forgets about you in favor of new friends who aren't even trustworthy or loyal. You love that person. You care for them. And you try to tell them that the people that they've chosen are not right for them. They are leading them away from their true self. These people lack truth and might lead to their ruin. They could lead them down wrong and harmful paths with no good end. It is just like when we have tasted the love of God and want to share it with others around us. We want to tell them what Christ did for our salvation. We want to show them the true source of living water, the wellspring of life. We want to invite them to drink from this water. We want to encourage them to put their trust in unfailing love instead of broken cistern. This is part of our faithfulness to God, but it's also offering people something wonderful. It's not placing a burden on someone or asking them to live in a harder, drier place than they are now. It's leading them to living water. It's holding out a refreshing faith, a relationship with a faithful God who will supply every person's deepest need. In my dream, God wanted me to keep focusing and trusting in Him. Many things in our lives can break easily. But God's love, His promises, and His faithfulness never do. God wants us to build our faith not on the shifting sand and broken cisterns of our own plans, but on Him who is steadfast and has eternal love for us. And He wants us to share this with others so that everyone can drink from His well, be satisfied, and never be thirsty again. Amen.